Hi there, everyone. This is Armand DeMille, The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5. FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And yesterday, we were talking about secrets. We were talking about the importance of secrets and how people have many secrets. And we started to take calls where people were talking about their secrets, and it triggered an enormous response in the audience, emails and people calling in. And of course, they think things should be pulled out even further and talked about. And the other thing that people seem to think, that is, if people expose secrets, someone should be punished. Now, that's kind of difficult, because if someone's going to get punished, people, of course, are not going to tell their secrets. So they have to have the safety of being able to say, here's what happened, and I'll determine whether or not someone will be punished. Of course, if you're a child, it's different. But punishment is such an interesting idea that today I thought we would talk about punishment itself. Punishment, that is something you do to somebody who does something that you think is wrong, and when you have the power to do it. Parents punish children. Teachers punish children. If you come from the school I came from, the priests and nuns punish children. God punishes, right, children. Nobody punishes dogs, cats. You know, they don't get punished. They do get punished. Well, anyway, children are the ones who get the most punished. And I guess that's a form of, that's to say that if we discipline by punishment, right, that's either by holding things back as a form of punishment, having a kid not be allowed to go out and play, you'll have no TV, you know, if you're, these are punishments. If you do the bad thing, eventually the kid will grow up with enough terror that they will behave as you want them to. Right? Nowadays, you take away a kid's cell phone, that's it. That's enough. You have no cell phone, you have no, that's it. You've disarmed them completely. So there's a real sense of punishment out there, but I want to address something else that I noticed in people, and I've noticed this in people who I've treated over the last 30 years. In many ways, people accept that the bad things happen to them, and why? Why do they accept it? Well, a lot of people say that, you know, children who have been abused as children, people who have been abused as children, they believe they deserve no better, so therefore they settle for less, and they have difficult relationships. And therefore, any punishment they receive because they're expecting it, because they were abused. Well, you know, that always kind of went together, but it doesn't make sense. If you're abused as a kid, let's say you're beaten as a child, why are you waiting to get punished? Haven't you been punished enough? But I think the theory does have something to it. Because I've noticed with practically everyone who suffers with a psychiatric problem, with any kind of psychological disorder, everyone has underneath it a fear of being punished. Fear of being punished, right? Think about it. Think about the fear of having your phone ring. Fear of being punished. The fear of being punished could be people who are afraid of getting sick. You know, there are some people who are phobic about being sick. They're not just, they're called hypochondriacs. They are doing it all the time. They're taking care of themselves. Why are they so afraid of getting sick? Why can't you walk out on the street with a normal immune system and fight off most of the ills that are out there as most healthy people can? Well, if you have a fear of being punished, you're expecting that them germs are going to come and get you. You more than anybody else. So it turns out the people who have the most fear of getting ill are the people who underneath somewhere feel like they should be punished. Just stay with me, friends, because you're gonna watch how this evolves. Some people see, you know, I mean, just think about why we have such incredible malpractice insurance for doctors. Why? Because they're afraid of being punished. The doctors who skate by, who charge insurance companies, who sign off things, you know, many of them who live their life on the shady side because they're doing things to make an extra buck. They're worried about it. They're worried that they don't read the entire report you get, that they get. They're worried that they misdiagnose. They're worried. And since they can't spend the time or don't want to spend the time being proper doctors, they say they have a rule. And the rule is, if I do anything that my peers would have done, then you can't hold me responsible. So if you're a doctor and you ignore the fact that a person, has a history of something and you don't see it, but, and even though it's pure negligence and one of your peers would have ignored the same thing because your handwriting is terrible, you get exonerated. But because you're afraid that you're going to be punished, because if you're a physician, you're making $200,000 to $300,000 a year, you're living high on the hog, you're dealing with sick people who are suffering all the time, somewhere inside you, you must feel like it's an injustice. It's an imbalance. And somewhere inside, you're waiting to get punished. And that's why malpractice insurance has to be so big. Because you're waiting to get punished. You know, it's like walking through Central Park. You walk through Central Park. If you walk through afraid to get mugged, you're very likely to get mugged. Because you walk with fear. Doctors who walk with fear, you know, which means they carry the biggest malpractice suits, they're afraid of getting sued, and they do get sued. So the fear of being punished very often brings on the punishment itself as part of the case that I'm going to make for you. I'm going to say that somehow people have a sense that there's something underneath them that is broken, wrong, disturbed, malicious, evil, and they're waiting to get punished. I think about Beverly Hills. I went to visit Beverly Hills. I went to visit someone in Beverly Hills who had one of these multi-multi mansions. And I saw just what must have been 10 miles away from them, I saw poverty like I didn't even know existed in New York City. And I said to myself, what's going to happen when this poverty comes up this hill? Because you at the top of this hill, I didn't say it to the person, but you at the top of the hill have everything. You have 90-foot flat screens. You know what I mean? I mean, you live in a paradise. And there are people down there at the bottom of the hill who are starving. You don't think that they're going to make their way up this hill one day? So would he have, as a consequence of imbalances like this and kind of a guilt, you have alarm fences, you have alarm systems, you have guard dogs, you have Rottweilers, you have things like that which are meant to keep the people away because you think if you've got something that you have an excess of, maybe someone's going to punish you. Armand DeMille here with you with the Positive Mind. We will be taking calls today. So I think the very existence of lawyers is all about punishment, that there wouldn't be such a profession. There wouldn't be this profession if it weren't for the fact that people are expecting to get punished. Religious punishment, there's an interesting concept. You know, one of the things about religion that's always kind of gotten me, and we were trained to it, we were taught to it when I was a kid, that, you know, we've committed a sin. And we are sinners. And that punishment will be coming down. And so because we were such sinners, I thought this was a good idea, Jesus came down to get the punishment for us so we could start over again. Well, that's kind of an interesting concept. You know, that we had somebody who's going to take our punishment and then we could start over again. But then there's this whole idea of religious punishment going right down to the fact that I've seen monks who live with these hair shirts that hurt their backs day in and day out. They rub your back raw as a way of punishing themselves for the sins of mankind and womankind and all kind. A lot of people looked at 9/11. And when they saw the towers go down and they heard that it was an invasion by the people who think that we in America are bad things, you know, a lot of people said we deserve it. They thought, yeah, you know, I understand. I understand we live with such excess that somebody is going to look at us and say, you know, you guys, you're not right. You live in excess at the cost of us. So we're coming after you. So people actually believe, and they say, yeah, 9/11 is a horrible, horrible thing. But somewhere they believe they deserved it. Some people believe that the flood, Katrina, was punishment for homosexuality. They actually published it. They actually did. I forgot who it was. But one of the preachers said, you know, a lot of homosexuality was going on there in New Orleans, and Katrina was punishment for it. And the tsunami was punishment. And all these acts of supposed God and nature are punishments. Are we waiting for punishment? Are you waiting for punishment? So what about sex? One would imagine that at a very early age, and this goes to the secrets we were talking about yesterday, a person would be thinking about anything that they did sexually or discovered sexually. Somehow the message got to you that it was a bad thing. You know, I mean, any kind of self-exploration was a bad thing. If you were a young boy, you hid and you lived in terror of being caught. You know, and yet, you know, you would go and you would lock away. And if you got caught by anyone, even a school teacher in the, you know, it was terror. It was like you were shaking in your boots. It was like a horrible thing. It's like waiting to get punished. Men very often feel that they are going to be punished just for their sexual urges. There are a lot of men who live in relationships with wives and they look at pornography on the internet. And then they do it in a way, you know, they have a secret room, they live in the basement, they do something private. And then suddenly their mate walks in the room and they have this terror-struck feeling. Oh, my God, I got caught. In your own house, you have this terror feeling. I mean, if you're going to do it, talk to your mate about it. Why would you be living with terror of being caught in your own house? Secret phone calls. You know, cell phones nowadays enable people to have many, many kind of trysts and relationships, even if they're not sexual, and text messaging and computers. Everything allows you to have relationships that, you know, are a little bit seedy, maybe a little bit erotic, and maybe you don't cross the line, but guilt and waiting to get punished. Some people see something such as herpes, a disease, you know, genital herpes, as punishment for sex. Not as a consequence of being, you know, ill-prepared or making a mistake or having the wrong partner, but punishment. It's actual punishment. There are people in this world who thinks that anybody who has AIDS is being punished for their sexuality. And they want you to be punished for their sexuality because they spend so much of their own time controlling their own sexual impulses that they want you to not be free enough. If you're a hippie and you're living in Staten Island and you're on a commune, boy, you know, there's a recent thing about people being shot at a commune in Staten Island. And a whole bunch of people who are glorifying in the fact that you see, peace and love gets you shot. Because you can't be free. You can't have that kind of freedom. There is this stuff about punishment and stuff like that, but then there's this other part of us that kind of invites it. Did you ever speed in a car? You're driving in a car and you go faster and then faster and faster. And then you hear the police siren. I'm caught. I'm now going to be punished. And the ones who sit there, if you ever watch somebody sitting getting a ticket, you watch someone turn into like 5 years old. Oh, I'm really sorry. You know, for a little while, maybe use your skills, maybe a little flirtatious or a little commanding or engaging. But after that, you're like just a baby being caught, you know, by your parents. Waiting to get punished. You know, think about the immigrants nowadays. The people who are immigrants in the United States. Do you know how they live? They live day to day waiting to get punished. They don't have their cards. If they get caught, it's the immigration department. You could threaten them. There are people who are being practically thrown into slavery based on their fear that they're going to get punished. So that's what happens, my friends. You know, if you're somebody who works at an airline and you watch people, you say you're a customs guard, you learn to look for the people who are looking to get punished. Because those are the people who might be likely to be carrying drugs into the United States or doing something illegal. So you get a look in your eye a look in your eye of, you know, I'm just not right. So here's a concept for you, waiting to get punished. Are you waiting to get punished? Is there something that happens to you whenever a bad thing happens? Let's say you lose a job, you get fired. Do you have an inner kind of glory that says, yeah, I deserved it? Are you somebody who goes through life and says, you know, every time something bad happens, that even though you complain about it, something inside you believes that you deserve it? 212-209-2900. I'm saying to you that it's underneath practically all the disorders that I've ever seen. Think about phobias. A phobia is the belief that you're going to be punished. Yes, any phobia. Fear of germs. The germs are going to come and they're going to get me. They're going to get all over me. And once they get all over me, they're going to make me dirty. And then, as I was inquiring earlier today, they're going to make me dirty, and then they're going to make me smelly, right, which is very interesting. And then I'm going to be smelly and dirty. And what you hear is that you hear somebody whose phobia of germs says it's going to turn me into a bad child and I'm going to be punished. Fear of germs, fear of rain. Some people have fear of rain, that the rain is going to punish them. Some people have fear of light. You know, you have fear of other people. It's all about punishment. All phobias are about eventually I'm going to be punished. So you can condition people to help them deal with punishment and help them deal with their phobias, help them expose it. But what you've really got to do if you're going to help somebody is get underneath, where is this punishment coming from? What do you think you need to be punished for? I mean, if I were to ask you, the audience, that question, what do you think you should be punished for? You know? I mean, for a while in my life, I thought I should be punished for being white. You know, I lived in a black community, and I said, you know, it's so much easier for me than it is for everybody else. And so one time I was up at Harlem, and I had some guys give me a tough time. And I actually felt like, you know, well, it's justified. It's justified because, you know, I'm wrong to be white. 212-209-2900, our number here. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We bring you things to explore that are a little unusual. And to hear the responses back from you, I've got to tell you that when you call in, you may think you're just calling in to talk about things a little bit, but with your permission, I want to go a little deeper, and using my skills of psychology and psychological investigation, I would like to pursue it a little deeper, hoping that I could give you some insight that might help you lead a more positively minded life. So the telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're talking about an impending sense of doom, a kind of sense that there's something wrong. All depressed people, all phobic people live with this day by day. People with panic attacks, they feel the same thing. You could get a sense that any minute now the world is going to collapse. A sense of punishment, a sense of it's going to happen. Why do some people fear and other people don't? Imagine like the Internal Revenue Service. You get a letter from the IRS, we're going to be doing an audit, and you are part of the audit. And so you get selected randomly for an audit, and one percentage of you are going to panic. Because you know, like everybody, you cheated a little bit on your income tax. But you're afraid, and some people get terrified. And you can see them, they're fit to be tied. They can't do anything at all. And the other person says, well, I got to deal with it, you know, and if there's going to be punishments, I'll have to deal with the punishments, and I'm going to pay penalties, I'll pay the penalties. Some people take it, and other people are waiting to get punished. Other people expected the IRS to come after them. Now, is it that just the ones who did wrong are waiting to get punished? No, it's a mental set. It's a mental set. You're either waiting to get punished or you're not. And I'm saying that underneath most psychiatric disturbance, we will find some fear of being punished based on a belief that there's something wrong with you. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
I wanted to say a couple things. One, I think you need to emphasize more how much people internalize the self-concept of being a bad person. that it literally, yes, it can manifest psychiatrically, but I think people walk around with the self-concept of being a bad person.
Give me an idea of that. Now, I'm sure you've tackled this with this in your life. You know? Tell me how you used to walk around with this.
I guess, basically, the other thing I was going to say is how much of human nature is punishable. And so, to relay it to myself, so you walk around not liking someone else, someone you work with, because perhaps they threaten your status or something you've done.
Okay, you're using the word you. You mean me? You mean I? You mean yourself?
Yes.
Okay, start over with me, just for my help. If you don't mind, please, it helps me so much. Because when we generalize, you know, people say, ah, not me. But when a person talks about themselves, the rest of the people can hear it and apply it to themselves. So let's say you walk around, and there are people at your job that you don't like because they threaten you in some way, and you feel a certain hostility towards them, right?
Right. And then I can start to feel, or even someone I supervise, and I get angry at them for either not doing something that I had told them to do or what have you, and I walk around feeling like a bad person, but yet it's so much a part of human instinct, I think, that here you are, you exerted effort, here you are, you want to be recognized for something you've done, and a person doesn't like you, or a person is criticizing you in some way, and you have wrath, and the first instinct is, I'm bad. That's a punishable thing.
So you had a younger sister?
A younger brother.
Younger brother. So there we have it. Now, when you were a kid, did you feel the same way towards your younger brother? Try to get your brother to do something, and you would get punished for stuff that you didn't do with your brother. You know, you were, like, supposed to be taking care of him and stuff like that.
I think, if anything, wanted to be. I had an ideal picture of how I should be an older sister. So he should be learning from me. He should be respectful of me.
Well, there's the same thing as you feel towards your employees.
Right.
They should be learning from you. They should be respectful. They should care for you. They should like you. But with your younger brother, you must have really flopped at it, because it's a very difficult task for an older sister to have.
Exactly. But and I think the anger that results from that, which is very much a human nature and understandable and valid, and yet you can consider yourself a bad person for not being able to either contain that anger, or why am I feeling anger at that person in the first place?
So you felt like a bad person as a kid for getting angry at your brother who wasn't doing it right, and you knew, you said to yourself, but I'm supposed to be his teacher. How could I be getting mad at him? And that must have made you feel terrible towards your parents. I mean, what happened with you and your parents? Did they feel that you were being unfair, unkind?
Well, I certainly don't think that they tried to understand where I was coming from.
Yeah, difficult, huh?
Yeah.
So you were pretty much a loner in your family.
Precisely.
And as a loner in your family, here you are doing a job, and your entire childhood and your family life is being reproduced, and over again you struggle with yourself and how you must not be a good person, because if you were a better person, everybody would love you, and they would do everything right.
Exactly.
I love you. You don't have to do everything right. At least there's some of us out here who are saying, you're doing a fine job. What's your name, by the way? What's your name?
I did want to say that, Amanda.
Hello, Amanda.
Hi. I did want to say that I do think what's wrong with society in general, though, is that I think people go around punishing themselves for things that come very naturally. So there's always a conflict.
I hear that. Thank you very much, Amanda.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling in. 212-209-2900. So you see, now there's one of the big ones. Older sisters, right? Older brothers. Now, older brothers get away with murder. Older sisters who get punished for not being a surrogate mother, a proper surrogate mother. That's tough stuff. That's very, very tough stuff. Huh. Some of them have the potential to be the greatest leaders, but they also have the greatest potential to suffer on the inside and feel like bad people. They need hugs. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. We're talking about a sense of almost like a desire to be punished, or a need to be punished, or an expectation that you're going to be punished. That comes along with events that happen that are less than fortuitous or bad or stuff like that. Let's take another call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, Armand?
Yes, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
I have what I think is a little bit of an unusual fear.
Uh-huh.
A while back, I had been let go from a job, and it was simply the reason I was let go was that the person didn't like me. And it was kind of, I guess, it was a personal thing, and actually hired somebody else to work with him. And I work in the healthcare profession. So now I have a job, and I do a great job, but if the person says they want to talk to me or let's sit down and talk about something, I have my own private terror thinking that they're just going to tell me that they no longer want me to work for them.
Oh, boy. I understand.
And even if there's absolutely no indication.
Yeah,
one day I was asked to drop off something at the office, and they said, on your way out, just come by the office and drop this off. And I was really my own secret. I was petrified inside thinking, oh, my goodness, they're calling me over there to tell me they don't want me to come in tomorrow.
What a terrible thing. So you've been sandbagged. It's called sandbagged. When you don't expect that something's going to happen in a relationship, whether it with a boss, a husband, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, and suddenly you didn't expect it in a million years, and they turn around and they say to you, you're no good.
Right.
And that's murder, because you spent, you know, the people who suffer from this the most are the people who have the most fear in general. You know, you go around the rest of life taking care of things. Let me ask you, when you were a kid, could you have been guaranteed sure of your family's love towards you?
No, I had a mother that had a lot of mental problems.
So how did you know if your mother really loved you or not?
She bought me a lot of things.
And what did that work?
As I grew up, I avoided my mother.
So you had to avoid your mother, because what could happen if you went to see her?
I went to see her, she constantly berated me. If I told her if I was in school or whatever the thing was, she'd say, well, why are you doing that? You're not going to make it anyway.
Wow. So closet criticism.
Yeah,
stuff that you don't expect. You would go to see your mom. A mom is a place that's supposed to be a bosom of love. You know what I mean? That's what your mom is. Your mom was not a bosom of love. In this way, she was unbosomed. You know? And so what happens is you become punchy as a kid. And then you get through life and you say, well, all right, I'll conduct my life and everything will be fine. And so I could tell when people like me and don't like me because they'll talk to me. But then sometimes you run into somebody who doesn't like you and they do the mom thing. They suddenly drop on you. You know, you're not a good kid after all. And it hurts you. It hurts you terribly because it brings you back to childhood. And the wound that you got to deal with is not the one from the guy who fired you, but that original wound, the wound from mom.
Okay.
Because you're not a bad person. Yeah. You know, and I understand. I understand you're gun-shy.
You know, and logically I know that. It's just that.
But the reason it hangs in, the reason the fear hangs in is because you're waiting to be punished by your mother.
Yeah.
You
see? Okay.
That's the place you got to go to find out about it. This and all phobias are about somebody waiting to be punished.
Oh, okay, because the second piece is my mother died back in October.
Yeah.
And I actually sat down and forgave her because we had such a tumultuous relationship. And, in fact, my mother had disowned me, and I didn't know it. I wasn't in her will.
Disowned is almost like being fired.
Yeah, she disowned me.
You know, it's the same thing. But, you know, here's one thing I got to say before our break, that the adult you may forgive your mother. The child you is really still in pain.
So then what do I do?
Talk it over with a therapist. Get some work done on it.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille. It is exactly 1:30 here at WBAI 99.5 FM. We're going to take a short break, and we come back. A little music, and then back to you.
Backup singers. I'm used to this. I need this. Anyway, this driver had no idea how to get to the airport. Because of the 14th Street, he took a left turn instead of a right turn. And I was really mad at him because, hey, man, we have to be at the airport in a few moments. So how the hell can you do that? Because the flight leaves to Berlin. One fancy cocktail.
In the sky.
Two pieces of lemon. three crying babies
next to me.
And after four drinks, it wouldn't serve me no more. Well, and after flying for 7 hours in the comedy class, I was really mad. Three crying babies, and no more liquor, and no sleep. So finally, we arrived in Berlin. It was raining, of course. So nobody's picking us up. So where the hell are these guys? Anyway, so let's go for the luggage. So we went down, there was no luggage. There was my luggage. So I waited half an hour for my luggage. So I went down to the counter and said, excuse me, where's my luggage? We flew from New York to Berlin. So he looked into his computer and he said, sir, it's on the way to L.A.
L.A.
I had one bedroom apartment.
One bedroom apartment.
There were two things on my mind.
My mind.
I want to go back.
Back
to my luggage. I want to leave this place behind. Okay, I'm sitting in the airplane to Los Angeles to get my luggage back. It's quiet, and next to me there's a friendly guy from Morocco or somewhere. So we talked, and I wanted to show him the pictures of my boat. And guess what? I find out that I forgot my wallet in the apartment in Berlin. And here I am, no cash, no credit cards, and I'm wearing a suit for 4 days. Suddenly, the nice guy beside me jumps up with a pistol in his hand, runs to the cockpit, and demands that the pilot has to go to Rio de Janeiro. Just one night in Rio.
In Rio.
Two. Too tired to complain. Three. Three stamps in my passport. For you it might sound funny.
Well.
But I was in pain. Alright, after 26 hours, we got rescued by the Brazilian anti-terror squad. Nice guys, by the way. Later at the gate, I see this beautiful lady smiling at me. I go over there and talk to her. And she invites me to over to her house. Sounds like there's a chance to shave. In this one night in Rio, we had two glass of champagne. And after three minutes of talking, we made love again and again. Oh, it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm getting a little rest. You know what I'm saying? It's a rough night. My cell phone rings. It's my agent, Steve. He's telling me he's waiting on my boat in Malibu with all my luggage. Thank God. Ready to go to Honolulu. I could dress, go to the airport, pick up my ticket, because I have to go back. Back to L.A.
That, my friend, is called One Night in Rio. A new genre of music that I believe is coming our way. It's another form of mixing the spoken word as opposed to rap music and, you know, that kind of thing. You're now mixing the spoken word with music in the background. And I imagine there are people who are singing that music and they can know every lyric, and it's amazing. But that actually happened all by accident because I have computerized my music and I was expecting to play something else completely for you. And there, old Wi-Fi comes and gets you. And they said, no, we want to play this for the audience instead. Well, that's the way it happened. Isn't that cute? It's from Hotel Costas, number 8. It's the Hotel Costas series by Pompanac. And it's called One Night in Rio. Amazing stuff. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind WBAI 99.5 FM. I guess we were getting just a little too serious around there because, see, I'm not waiting to get punished. I always expect there are going to be more and more rewards coming my way. So I am getting rewards, and part of the rewards is the unexpected. For a lot of people, they fear the unexpected. They, oh my gosh, they can't stand it. I understand. A lot of other people absolutely just live on it. 212-209-2900. We're talking about the fear of punishment and different forms of punishment, and you could hear from the audience that we've had call in so far that there's a direct connection between this kind of punishment that you get and a sense of yourself as a child that you're still carrying around. You know, and you're going to find that this early childhood development kind of leads to a sense of punishment. And this sense of punishment could manifest in any number of things, including depression and phobia. So one of the ways that we treat depression and phobia is to connect the dots so we can show you where it came from. And it's not always necessary. That's just an idea. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Vince. I spoke to you a while back. I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Hello, Vince.
IA. How are you? I'm calling because of I work and I met this lady that I really care about, and I know she's having a hard time in her marriage, and I'm having a hard time in mine, and it was nothing. You know, she picks up money for coffee in the morning, and she goes by, but it developed, you know, I mean, never went out or nothing, but it's like half a minute meeting twice a day, and we talk, and we laugh, and I think about her a lot, probably constantly, and I just feel, I don't know, sometimes I feel guilty that I don't know how to feel.
Well, you know, you've got a relationship that's kind of unusual, Vince. It's an unusual relationship. First of all, it's a relationship where you and she have never spent much time together, right?
None at all.
None at all. And that you've allowed yourself to romantically involved in somebody who's very much, you know, a passing visitor,
yeah.
Certainly friendly. What about the rest of your life? What do you do with the rest of your time?
I work. I work 10-hour days.
What do you do?
Security.
You're doing security. So do you know this woman through your job?
Yes.
Through your work?
Yes.
Is she somebody that you protect?
No, she's just in and out. Well,
you
I
know,
guess
it's
that's
kind of an it's kind yeah. of an interesting thing. We're talking about people who have a fear of getting punished, and
yes.
What do you do for a living? You do security. Of all
yes.
things, you protect people from getting punished.
Mm-hmm.
You're like the great protector in the sky. Has anybody ever protected you when you were little? Did anyone protect you?
Well, I come from a family that was very abusive, actually.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, a family of 14, and used to get beat up all the time. And I was always the black sheep of the family. I was the one that they wanted a girl instead of instead of me, and I'm different from the rest, I guess, though, into rock and roll and other things. And I'm just kind of passive. And, you know, I was in the military for 7 years, and I did the bike trip across the country twice. And they thought I was nuts, but I thought it was a great adventure.
But you've never fit in, you know? You never fit in your own family. And
no.
The way you did fit in your family is you were the whipping boy. You know,
yeah.
That whenever your family, they kind of, you were the one who got all the strokes. It is little wonder that you walk around life shy of what's happening out there, shy of the world. And yeah. You're a novice. You're an innocent when it comes to love. So you find somebody who's really kind to you, who you like, and twice a day you are passing by and you have some kind of a small interlude with her, and it really fills your heart, doesn't it?
Yeah, really.
And I would say that if it weren't for her, your heart would be very barren.
Empty. When she shows up in the morning, it seems like if it's raining, it just brightens my day. I feel good. I when I think of her, I smile. And everything else, you know, it's just, you know, I'll do this, I'll do that. You know, I go on with my life. I'm very active in my life and everything. But when I think of her, it just brings me a good feeling inside. You know, that warm.
So, you know, I tell you, Vince, you've been through some rough stuff. And you've had some really hard times, and this is a gem, this is a jewel. Is it okay with you if this relationship never goes anywhere beyond this two meetings a day?
I have to accept that, yes it is. I just wanted to tell somebody about it.
And you certainly don't want to lose it, do you?
No.
It's precious.
That would be the worst thing, I think, because I look forward to that. I'm supposed to come into work now, and just to see her and say hi and get the smile and...
In another way, you're also looking forward to having it taken away from you because everything else was.
Yes.
You know, Vince, and I tell you, as long as you've got it, enjoy it. It's a beautiful thing. And I hope that you can have love in your heart all the time for the rest of your life.
Oh, thank you so much.
And if anything should ever happen that interrupts that, you call me right away.
At this number or a different number?
At 212-757-4488. You write that down. Let me be your backup.
757-4488.
And you just say, it's Vince. It's Vince. I need your help.
Yes. Thank you so much. You're great.
Thank you, Vince. So are you. So are you. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille and Friends. Hi, you're on the air. Let's take another call. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I have a question about this, your theory of fear of being punished. And I was wondering if you could explain to me a little bit more about how one who is punished as a young child can develop so many fears of many different things.
The one being you?
Yes.
Tell me about you. Say I, and don't say, you know, one, and okay. Let's try to help out with this, okay? What kind of fears do you got?
Oh, I have fears. I have phobias. And,
what kind of phobias?
Flying phobias.
Fear of flying. What's going to happen if you fly?
It's that I'm not in control.
You're not, and what'll happen?
Because I'm not in control, anything can happen. That I'm not in to trust that I have trust issues with that also.
Do you think the airplane's going to crash?
It's either going to, you know, I have a fear that it could crash, and I have a fear that it could do a number of things.
Like what? What else could it do?
Oh, it's a loss of control when the wind hits it and it gets really, really bumpy and it goes down all of a sudden and then comes back up again and you just don't. No one's really.
So you have a fear that the airplane could take you out of control, that no matter anything you do, no matter what you do, you can't control it. You must hate getting dizzy.
No, yeah, I don't really like giving up control in general. Dizziness,
in general.
Sir.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you ever drink?
I do, but I don't. I don't let myself get out of control too often while drinking.
And when you do, how far do you go out of control?
I think I'm always somewhat in control, to tell you the truth. I never let myself get to the point where I pass out from alcohol or anything like that.
Well, more than anything like that, if you didn't pass out and you did let yourself get out of control with alcohol, what would you become? What would it be like? What would you look like? Imagine your greatest fear, besides passing out, because how bad could passing out be?
It depends on who you're with and where you are, I suppose.
All right, so pick the worst possible scenario.
Okay, I'm with strangers.
You're
I'm
with
drinking,
strangers, and you drink, and what happens?
And I drink too much. And
you're now drunk, and you're drunk. And now what happens?
and I could not remember things.
And there are things you don't remember, such as?
Well, I wouldn't remember them.
But like
know.
What? What are you afraid of not remembering? How about romantic interludes that
sure.
are casual and fast, and it happens when you're not looking, but you're suddenly in somebody's bed?
Right, and that's out of not being in control.
And is that a terrible thing?
I think it could be, yeah.
That could be a terrible thing. What else? How about you might get angry at somebody and slap them?
I'm not worried about that.
Why are you not worried about that?
Because then I would be in control of if something happens like that and I'm choosing to be angry.
So the worst thing that could happen to you is that you could not have your controls, but it's not anger you're worried about. Tell me another phobia.
Okay. It's not really a phobia. It's fear. It's just fear of trusting the world around me. I have people that have been sick around me, trusting that I'm going to be okay.
See, again, there it is. There's that fear of punishment.
Yeah, and there
you know
is,
what I mean? I mean, like, if you have a fear that
right?
the bugs are going to come and get you, uh-huh. it's almost like, you know, they're going to target me because I'm a bad person.
So
see,
wait,
it's like
it
if you have a fear of... What?
It goes back to being a child, but I'm wondering what part of it as a child? How bad does the punishment have to be, or do we manifest these things on our own?
I think when a child is making things up, they can make up things pretty severely. Mind you, what a child sees in books and movies and television and what they hear, just hear a description of hell.
Uh-huh.
You know, what's hell like? Were you brought up Christian?
No.
Okay, what is the worst punishment you could think of? You know, they tell you about different things, and a child hears about these things or sees them on television.
Mm-hmm, right.
And they could make up the most horrible, horrific, being eaten by worms, you know. And,
right, yes.
You know, and stuff like that. And if you're somebody who feels basically evil for some part of yourself, like because you don't agree with your parents,
mm-hmm.
you're going to make this up to control yourself.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things that you have is a way of controlling yourself by using your phobias.
I see.
You see, and you control yourself from doing anything for which you believe you should be punished.
And it all comes from childhood.
Well, it comes from childhood. You know, it doesn't mean it only comes from your parents doing it. It means it comes from a child's mind. It's so hard to appreciate what it's like to be 3 years old and making up what the world is like.
Yes.
You know, it's a very difficult thing. And I could see you were not a happy kitten. You weren't a happy child. You were not happy when you were little. You were lost in your own mind.
Yeah, I grew up in an alcoholic home.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of stability as far as trusting that when I came home from school that things would always be the same.
And in fact, it's the word. It's the opposite of that. Uh-huh. It's not that there wasn't a lot of stability. Uh-huh. You would come home and you would never know what was going to face you.
That's
you
fine.
Wouldn't know if they'd be ripping at each other's throats. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know if you were going to get hit. You wouldn't know if you were going to get punished. You had to figure out some way of getting a sense that you could control what was going to happen when you come home. So maybe you'd learn to come in the side door. Or maybe you'd learn to look in the window or call them up in advance.
Right.
But you learned how to protect yourself the best way you can. I'm so sorry you went through that. What's your name?
My name is Sarah.
Sarah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Boy, I tell you, I really think it's lousy that happened to you.
Well, it hard times make you stronger. And
wait a minute now. Hold on a second there. You notice what just happened? Just now, I was one of the first person in your life who ever acknowledged and recognized what you went through. And you know what you did? You became a parent. You became an adult. And you said, hard times make you stronger. Well,
yeah.
Listen, let's spare Sarah, little Sarah, these hard times, because she could get stronger in other ways. You know, she could swim, and that'll make her stronger. She could walk freely in the summer in the woods, and that'll make her stronger. She doesn't need the hard times.
Mm.
She's had enough.
Well, you are very good.
Yeah, that's why nobody punishes me. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for talking to me.
Sure.
Thank you. Thanks.
My honor. Let's take one more call, Michael, if you don't mind. Thank you so much. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm very happy that I reached you. I have a lot of fears, but I think one of my deepest fears is a fear of the abandonment. I, too, like Sarah, grew up in an alcoholic family and with a lot of issues. And, you know, I've been in a long marriage, and a couple of years ago, an incident happened with my husband where I suspected of him going out with someone else. And I'm still with my husband, but I can't resolve it in my mind, and it's causing me a lot of pain.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Have you tried to see a counselor about it?
No, I haven't. You know, it's like I know that in a lot of ways it has a lot to do with me because I, like Sarah, you know, coming from that type of environment, you want to be in control all the time. You want to control what's going on.
And so suddenly you learn that you're out of control and things have gone on. And I only have a moment. What's your name?
Nancy.
Nancy, you know, have you ever thought about Al-Anon groups?
No.
You know, it's one of the remedies that could be really helpful because they address this issue plus the history of alcohol in your family, and it's kind of a nice, easy solution. Another is couples therapy with somebody who's real familiar with this kind of background. But I would recommend the Al-Anon groups. They're free. They're cheap. You know,
okay.
They're free, and there's one right in your neighborhood, wherever you are. And they're a good thing, you know. They're decent. And if you have any trouble with the God stuff, you just take it to the mean God in any way that you mean it to be.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Well,
thank you so much for calling in. I wish I had more time. I would certainly spend it with you.
Okay.
All right. So this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. On Tuesday, we have a special guest coming in, Gene Liedloff, who used to be a producer at WBAI, who wrote a new book called The Continuum Concept, will be with us. If you want to get a copy of today's program or mail it to somebody, you could do so by going to the website, thepositivemind.com. This is Armand DeMille with you. I'll be back with you on Tuesday. At 1 p.m., my friends.
Looking out at ripples on the dance floor. What you mean is what you hear. Did you forget to know what the end is? To begin. From the back corner, dream. dance floor, the dance floor, love and dust.